I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. The United States began the day today a changed country after electing Barack Obama president. In his acceptance speech last night, President-elect Obama addressed the people of America and those outside the United States. He suggested their world had changed as well.
All those watching tonight from beyond our shores, from parliaments and palaces, to those who are huddled around radios in the forgotten corners of the world, our stories are singular, but our destiny is shared. And a new dawn of American leadership is at hand.
Reaction to Barack Obama's victory came in from across the globe.
Today, Barack Obama is America's choice.
We're all very pleased and applaud the American people for this historic
vote. This is a great testament to the great strength and maturity of the American
people of France. Are in a very good mood because of...
Indonesians have a special affection for President-elect Barack Obama.
Outside the White House today, President Bush congratulated President-elect Obama on his victory. He said that Washington is embarking on a period of change. But President Bush added that one thing will not change.
The United States government will stay vigilant in meeting its most important responsibility, protecting the American people. And the world can be certain this commitment will remain steadfast under our next commander-in-chief.
Even so, the challenges facing President-elect Obama are steep. The world's Matthew Bell reports.
Take one look at the to-do list facing Obama, and you start to ask yourself who in their right mind would want this job at this time in American history. Former National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft summed up the challenges this way.
I'm glad I don't have to write that first memo for the president, because it will be discouraging, really discouraging, because we have such a list of problems. You have important problems, you have urgent problems, you have important urgent problems.
If Jessica Matthews had to write that first memo, she says the problem at the very top of the list would be the global financial crisis. Matthews is the president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
I would start with the question of the international financial architecture and the question of whether ad hoc collaboration is adequate to solve the problems that this crisis has uncovered, or whether we're going to need some more institutionalized form of coordinating policy, and if so, what that is.
Matthews says the financial crisis is so urgent that Obama will have to start acting before Inauguration Day. She warns that he needs to be careful not to step on the current president's toes, but that Obama must be involved in the effort to create a new global economic framework for the 21st century.
The summit that is happening in the middle of November, the international summit on this subject, either has to in some way kind of connect to the president-elect, or if it ignores him, it pretty much marginalizes itself. So I think what we will see more is his key appointments will be made early. And I believe he's going to revolutionize the transition period in the same way he revolutionized the campaign.
Matthews says the economic crisis can't wait, and Obama should not wait either before assembling his team of economic advisors. That's not the only urgent problem facing him, of course. John Nagle of the Center for a New American Security says the war in Afghanistan could be the toughest of all. Nagle is a former Army lieutenant colonel and an expert on counterinsurgency warfare.
The Taliban is getting stronger. The commander on the ground, General McKiernan, has requested additional U.S. forces, but frankly, we don't have them readily available. And so what President Obama is going to have to do is draw down in Iraq as rapidly as he responsibly can, in order to free up more resources for a counterinsurgency campaign in Afghanistan that, frankly, is not going very well right now.
Up until now, Obama and the Democrats have been able to blame President Bush and the Republicans for setbacks and mistakes in U.S. foreign policy. Those days will soon be over, and Obama's political opponents will be ready to pounce. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, says the political debts Obama incurred during the campaign season could come back to haunt him.
He owes his nomination in large part to satisfying the anti-war left in the Democratic Party. if he pays off that political debt, in effect, through a precipitous withdrawal from Iraq, I think it will have a devastatingly negative effect. It may well be he governs in a different way and withdraws in a more even-handed fashion that leaves the government in Iraq more stable. I think that'll have a different impact as well.
In an op-ed today, Bolton urges Obama to get to work on these issues right away because America's adversaries in Iran, North Korea, and elsewhere are unlikely to extend Obama the gift of a honeymoon period to get adjusted to his new job. Obama's situation has been compared to those faced by past U.S. presidents. Political scientist Bruce Jenelson of Duke University says those comparisons are inevitably misleading, but he says there's a lesson there.
Our great presidents have emerged from taking office at times where some people might have said, why would you want this job? You know, Franklin Roosevelt in 1932 amidst the Depression. Abraham Lincoln in 1860 when the country was coming apart. You know, many situations, I think, and great leaders often emerge from trying times.
In other words, every daunting challenge comes with an opportunity for greatness. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.